Many times, as a young, stubborn man, what I would do is purchase a product and then just start using it without reading the instructions. And we would joke, that's what men do. We don't read instructions, and that's how we're supposed to maintain. And I've learned the hard way in many cases. There are times I had to end up repurchasing it because I used it incorrectly, or I damaged the thing that I was using this product on. I made matters worse, and the problem was my fault, because the instructions were there, but I thought I had everything figured out. Even worse, and I think we all may have experienced this with medications. Medications will give you this warning of, please follow the instructions on how to take this medication. If I don't take it that way, it's going to be ineffective, and even worse at times, it can make me sick or even cause death if used incorrectly. Time after time, man is in this way of just going and running with it, instead of there is a reverence or a respect to, okay, I want to use it correctly. We're in a time where we're doing that exact thing with God, and this is by far the worst. We are looking at things, and we're readjusting who God is, so we're applying it to our lives as if it came from God. The problem with this outcome is it's actually causing more problems. It's actually putting us in extreme danger. God's word provides us with the protection we actually need. However, what Satan has done brilliantly, and we fail for it, is we do things as if it came from God while it does not. The name of this order, my steps, is true protection from corruption. I can't say enough, and you should do this with all studies that you're giving. Please pay close attention to this, because I can assure you more are doing this than not. I heard somebody say they heard a minister say that if they listen to this certain singer, they are not Christians. Now, let me start from the beginning. I in no way am I going to endorse following a worldly singer or entertainer of any type. Okay, I'm not going to say to do that. Here's the problem. In that, you have a lot of people that will endorse this. You see it online, and that's their safety. They'll pick certain music. They'll pick certain entertainers. They'll pick certain shows. They'll pick certain songs. And in those, they'll almost tell you, or they'll kind of imply, these are the things you got to watch out for. We're going through a trend in which musicians are dressing up like supposed Satan, and they're showing a sign of Satan worship. And then you hear Christians having this uproar over these people doing this. Once again, and rightfully so. It should be this way. But here's the problem. In doing this, we start then applying man-made protections. What's the matter with that? Because it leaves us wide open in other ways. I'm going to explain this using God's word. First of all, we need to avoid the man-made, flawed protections that are supposed to be against corruption. The Bible shows us this in Colossians 2, 20-23. He says in verse 20, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Now, he's making very clear that you're going through something, right? And you died from the flesh. So then why are you doing fleshly things? For spiritual matters is what he's saying. In other words, you'll watch people create rules that the world would do in worldly morals and not in true morals. He says things like in verse 21, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. He says these are all destined to perish with use. Watch this, because they are based on human commands and teachings. Now, some may go, but I think some of them are effective. They're great. Here's the problem. They're missing things. And not only are they missing things, they leave us wide open on the other end. It's like a boxer going into the ring, and they just keep your gloves up to your face. So then the other boxer, if he's smart, will just give you a whole lot of body shots, and man, he could kill you. You understand that? Why? Because you're only guarding one part. You're only protecting one part. He says in verse 23, and this is why we walk by faith, not by sight, such regulations, pay close attention to this, indeed have an appearance of wisdom. The thing that this person will tell you to do next will seem like a brilliant way to do it. And I'm watching Christians do this in many cases. You'll have some man that will come tell you, don't do this, or make sure you do this. And Christians will go, amen. Right? Don't watch this, but you are allowed to watch this. We start setting human boundaries. And is that what God is saying? And why isn't God saying this? We're going to see that. Because in this appearance of wisdom, that's those who are walking by sight, we see it and it looks like it works. But those who are walking by faith will recognize these things are offering, and he goes on, with their self-imposed worship. So it's we're worshiping our way. We're worshiping the way we think we should worship God. False humility, because only true humility is us totally giving in to God. But to totally give in to God, I'm going to him for his answer. And watch this. And their harsh treatment of the body. We at sometimes will stop things that God didn't say stop. That's fine, but you almost do it with this chip on your shoulder, with this patting of the back, thinking, man, I'm really doing this godly thing. But look what he says. He says, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Now, I put that in caps for you to grasp. This is the problem. I'm going to explain that a little clearer. We're going to use God's word, okay? And the sensual indulgence doesn't just mean sexual. It means desire. It means they lack any value in truly restraining the effects of your desires. That's what it means. They look like they work, but we still end up in trouble. These are the things that you'll have groups that will apply to keep people from doing things, and then people go into this vicious cycle of staying in them. What's the problem? Now, let's understand what God says about these, okay? And then I'll explain a little later the dangers of adding the man-made ones, even though we mean well, instead of just following God. Jesus warns of the dangers of the world, but does not lean towards man-made protections. He's very clear. In fact, realize Jesus did not pray for the world, believe it or not. Look what he says in John 17, 6 through 9. He says, and this is his prayer, John 17, where he breaks a lot of stuff down and he really reveals a lot of what he is, how he's dealing with ministering to the world and how we're supposed to be in the world. John 17, starting in verse 6, he says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. Now, pay close attention to this. He didn't say he took them out of the world. He's saying these people are now the ones I'm going to use that came out of the world. They used to belong to the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. Watch this. And they have obeyed your word. Now, that's the thing that's going to be the changer, the difference maker. You have a lot that teach grace in such a wrong way. Obedience is just non-existent. And that's something to make us go away from the thing that we really need. Okay, we're supposed to be in obedience. He says, they have obeyed your word. He goes on, verse 7, now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the word you gave me, and they accepted them. The thing about the word is it's what brings us close to Jesus because it gives us an understanding of Jesus. It's the thing that gets us to know Jesus. It's our religion, our relationship maker. He goes on to say, they knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. That's the whole thing, our relationship, our trust, and everything from him. But look what he says in verse 9, and it could be shocking to a lot of people. He says, I pray for them. I am not praying for the world. A brilliant thing that Satan has done is he's really put us in our minds who remold God instead of reverently following God, we put the world in our view, and we try to fix the world. And the Bible does not say that. He's saying, I'm not praying for the world because we already know the verdict for the world. Do you get this? Why fix something that he's already saying is done? He said, I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. So it's not to fix the world, it's to fix those in the world, not to be of something. Now, this is significant because you got to realize, and I'm talking about the entire world, I'm going to say this again, the entire world is dangerous. You got to be aware of that. 1 John 5:19 says, we know. So we got to walk in knowledge. We got to walk. Stop making God what you think God is. Time after time, I'll hear people and they'll say things and they'll be bold. And yes, that's right. Here's the answer. And you're kind of, where's that at in the Bible? Be careful when you do that. Be sure when you say things about God that it is from God. He's starting on verse 5:19. We know that we are the children of God, but watch this, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Now, I'm showing you something, what he did here. He showed that the whole world. Now, when I first started this, I said somebody picked out a single part of it. And if you pay close attention, there are Christians that are singling out just certain parts, which are blatantly evil, very clearly evil, but it's almost giving us a self-righteousness that if I just eliminate this group, if I look down on this group, then I'm holy. Now, do you see how brilliant that is? Because he just told me the whole world is evil. That's like me giving you an apple and saying that whole apple is poisonous. So your next step should be to throw the whole apple away. But no, no, no. What do? You take a knife and start cutting out what you think is bad, and then you eat the apple. Are you still in trouble? Absolutely. Because he gave us this warning, and here we are taking it upon ourselves to pick what's evil, even though he told us all is evil. You see, Christ's solution was for us to be separate in purpose while living in the world, not to separate from the world. One of the biggest weapons that man uses is avoidance. Once again, on the surface, it gives the appearance of wisdom. Time after time, I'll get a Christian parent, my child doesn't watch this, my child doesn't do this, my child doesn't go here. Sounds great. And on the surface, absolutely, I don't want them to be exposed to that. Here's the problem. He stresses we're in the world, you're going to be exposed to it. Time after time after time, I've seen younger people, I've seen Christians who avoided, and then when they were put in a position that they had to face it, they had no idea what to do. Because that version of avoidance isn't what God said. That version of avoidance was man-made self-righteousness. Look what Jesus says in John 17:14-19. He says, I haven't given them your word, and the world has hated them. Now, the world only hates you when you live based on the word. You get this? And I have to live based on the word for the world to know I'm living by the word. He says, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. You see what I'm saying? We're in the world, but not of the world. And he watches in verse 15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world. Watch that. Did y'all catch that? That's not his prayer. And that's not his prayer for us either. He doesn't want us to come out of the world. So for those Christians and man-made instructions who try to create a Christian community to try to get us out of the world, you missed the point. Because he didn't say, hey, the way you handle this is I want you to separate out of the world. Watch what he says. But that you protect them from the evil one. So now, watch what he said here. The danger itself is not the world. The danger is the devil using the world. Okay? Now, the way I don't get affected by the world is when I recognize where I'm truly from. He says in verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So watch what he says. He says a word here that we got to understand in verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctification means I am set apart to be used by God only. Not sometimes, not in special occasions. No, always and only for God. Do y'all get that? And how am I sanctified? By the truth. So the Bible gives me clear-cut instruction on how to be God-purposed only. So when I'm sanctified, I'll look at a situation and only do what God says. You getting this? So what does the world do? So you got these Christians that claim to be Christians, and they bypass God, and they leave reverence, and they're not following the word, and they create instructions, as we read in Colossians, on how to deal with a situation. Is that sanctification? Absolutely not. It gives the appearance of, but what he just said here, sanctification is based on truth, and the word is truth. And that's why he shows here, I sent you, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself. Jesus basically said, I came into the world only to be used by you. Do you understand why he said, the world must understand I do exactly what my Father tells me? When he said, I sanctify myself, he came in only to do what God said, not what he assessed, not what he thought, not what he felt. We got too many intellectuals who try to come in and tell God, I got this. That's not who he wants. He wants us to react not based on what we think, but he wants us to react on what God says. That's why he says that they too may be truly sanctified. Now, this means a lot, because like I said, in these same rules, you got these Christians who get up with authority, who gives us instructions, and on the surface, they seem great, but they're opening us up for extreme danger. Now, here's the God-provided protection and what it reveals. It reveals that the true corruption actually is from man. The true corruption, the true problem is from us. 2 Peter 1:3-4 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Keep that in mind, because what we tend to do is we run away scared as if we don't have the weapons. You see, one of the reasons, and you see in the Ukraine war, you got a country that probably should have been pummeled or should be pummeled by Russia. And one of the reasons why they're not being pummeled at the moment is because they have what they need in order to fight back equally, because of all the other countries giving them weapons. And the same way, he shows us here, I gave you everything to live your life and to be godly. Do you understand it? What we start doing is acting like we don't have the weapons, so run. We avoid things. We start making man-made rules against the world as if we don't have the ability against the world, even though he just showed us here, I gave you everything you need to do this. And how then do I know and use these weapons? Watch this, through our knowledge of him. Now, we just saw earlier that me living, reading, and obeying the word is my relationship with him. How more I get to know him, the more then I utilize what he has given me. And now I'm prepared to live life the way I'm supposed to and to be godly in this life, despite what the world shows. He says, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. So that, watch this, through them. Stop there. So if Satan can redirect me and make me go through anything else, he doesn't care if it looks godly, just so it's not this one way. That's why Jesus is the way. Do you understand this? He gave me the tools, but if I use other things, then I'm going to miss out on what he's offering. What is he offering? You may participate in the divine nature. What is the divine nature? That the world won't affect me. Are you with me? That you may participate in the divine nature, and watch this, and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now, two things I want to see in that last part. What is causing the problem in the world? Evil desires. And in fact, that's another one of those places where the translators chose to add a word. It really should say, escape the corruption in the world caused by desires. So it's what I want that has been corrupting this world. Y'all with me? That has destroyed, messed up this world. And what he didn't say was escape the world. No, he said escape the corruption of the world. So the world can't corrupt me when I use the tools he gave me, using them based on my knowledge and my relationship with him. That's how it works. And what do? We keep making and following these man-made rules. Don't do this. Don't wear this. And, oh, man, I'm so holy because I'm going to look down on this group while I'm being blindsided by this other group. I'm going to explain that very soon. Now, the man without God becomes corrupt by what comes out of him. Do you understand this? It's not the world that corrupts me. It's how I allow the world to affect me and how I respond. Now, what this passage means, this is a matter between spiritual and flesh. When you get saved, okay, you become spiritual. Then you react. The in you is going to be the God in you. But when I don't act spiritual, the in me is going to be the me. And as we've seen in Romans 7, he says, there's nothing good that lives in me. that is in my sinful nature. Matthew 15, 17 through 20 says, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? So it's not corrupting you. He says, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. So the things that we allow to come out, he says, these make a man unclean. That's how we become corrupted. Right? So the world can do all at once. It can show me all at once. It can try to involve me in all at once. And it's not until it affects me and then I respond according to the world that I become unclean. Not because I was exposed to the world. It's how I allow the world to affect me. It says, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. And if you notice, it's not just what you say. These are actions. Okay? These, in other words, how I respond. He says, these are what make a man unclean. Do y'all get this? But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. I'm being very careful on this. I'm not saying you just go out and live your life the way you want to. I'm saying, no. Live it spiritually. You're going to be exposed. How then do you respond to the things you're going to be exposed to? Please don't make man-made rules, because man-made rules are missing things. See, the world's danger, all it is the stimulator to the uncleanliness in us. The world engages us, and there's three major ways it engages us in order for us to let the uncleanliness come out of us. It shows in 1 John 2:16 through 17. This is, for everything in the world. Everything in the world. Did you get this? Okay, he's saying everything. Please stop creating these things in your mind as if, well, there's some wholesome things in the world and there's some evil things in the world. He says, for everything in the world, and he breaks it down, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does. So in other words, the cravings of a sinful man, which is talking about what I want. So it's based on my desires. The lust of his eyes, how I see it and what I see. We get led by what molds my vision and my desires again. And the boasting of what he has and does. The me factor, how I feel about me, how I look to everybody else, what I want to do, my legacy. He says everything in the world caters to that. So do you catch this? Just in this little passage, do you notice? He's basically saying, if I can get them to be mad at part of it, then I'll pollute them by the other part. Did you get this? He says, they're not from the Father, but from the world. Verse 17 says, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Right? So my job is just to live the will of God in this world, and then I'm protected. You see, God gives us everything we need, so it becomes my responsibility not to leave the world, not to live in avoidance necessarily. It's not to be polluted. It shows in James 1, verse 27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Did y'all notice what he said? Keep oneself from being polluted. Now, man's version, I'll just avoid it. Sounds great if I didn't have to ever confront it. There's certain things that at times it's going to mean I'm going to avoid it. Do you understand? Amen. And that's what I'm hoping you think to do. But there are some times of, but when I confront it, what you don't teach your kids is I'm just going to keep them away from crossing streets. I'm going to find ways for them to go around that they never have to cross the streets. No, you teach them how to cross the streets. Am I right? Knowing that that car can hurt them, you know I got to teach them how to cross the street. Something so basic. So in the same way, instead of us just going, I don't let them see, we have to teach them, if this comes, what do you do? And you want them to know, you know what? I don't watch that. I don't listen to that. And if I get exposed by it, it will not affect me. Because it's meaningless. All of it is. You see, this can be partially done by avoiding worldly things. However, it is completely done by spiritual protecting oneself. problem is, without realizing it, we defend ourselves from the world by using the world, and this defeats the purpose. Let me explain, like I was saying earlier. So you'll get this music that is blatant. You'll get this television show that is horrible. You get this speaker that is dead wrong. And you're absolutely right about how wrong they are. So you'll start teaching your congregation and you'll hyper-focus on these groups and it'll make you feel good. There was a minister one time saying, you shouldn't go see these types of movies. You shouldn't listen to this type of music. You shouldn't listen to this man. And he was right. Here's the problem. What he didn't do, with the same passion, with the same warning, using God's word, because we saw the word everything and the whole world of being evil, he implied the other was okay. So I listened. There was a time where I listened to a song. It was a country song, and people loved this song, and they said it was so wholesome. The man who sang it was not displaying Christianity in this song. I saw a movie came on Hallmark one time. It was very corny as far as I was concerned, but in main thing, people were watching it, seeing it as a wholesome movie. But let me show you what these things did. There was a speaker one time that the world called. They really loved what he was. And these groups and these things that we've allowed and we've accepted as safe, the things we give to our kids, kids listen to Nickelodeon, G movies, and so on and so forth. Now, I'm not saying stay away from them. Watch what happens if you don't prepare your kids for it. These things endorse confidence in self, right? Sounds good, but a Christian knows better because a Christian is supposed to live in humility to God. So what is that? You see how it collides with each other? They're opposite. These things speak of and sing of and put out passion and physical love as the foundation and the basis to a true relationship. And this is what people chase after. You see these love stories of how they fall in love and how the passion and they have sex like it's nothing and all that stuff comes ahead. But you see nothing about the true sacredness of sex and marriage in God. Of course not, because they're of the world. Even these things we call safe. And what do the kids do? They grow up going in these relationships based on their passion and physical, not on God. They put emphasis on you doing you. In fact, the most important thing in all of these things, these wholesome things that we call wholesome, endorse you. While Jesus made clear, I must deny self. It even shows, and I heard this one time, there was a guy on his album, and his rap album, a lot of cursing, there was a lot of other stuff he said. Of course, the stuff he was saying on it was dead against God, was dead against everything God says, but a couple of his songs, he brought up Jesus. He would say, my Savior is Jesus. Now, all the other stuff, very clearly, totally against it, but because he said, my Savior is Jesus, some people are like, isn't this great? So what is he doing? He is worshiping God his way. God made clear, oh, true worshipers will worship me in spirit and in truth. He's letting you know, this is not a true worshiper. Just because he says my name, not everyone who says my name is entering heaven. They fully endorse feeling and desire versus truth. Like I said, in no way am I endorsing those other things to say to listen to. But when you go into this mode of don't listen to this and don't listen to that and don't watch this and don't do that, but you leave open for these other things, you just put yourself in more danger. You just cut off some parts of the apple, and you're still eating other parts of the apple, and you're still being destroyed. I saw a group, they were dead against the Muslims. I get it. Absolutely. They're against God, and sometimes they want to harm. But in that hyper-focus, they almost endorsed all the other non-Christian groups. And at times, they partnered with them. In their hate for the Muslims, they joined with other hate groups. And those hate groups were just as dangerous, if not worse, than the Muslims. So what just happened? And no way am I saying endorse the Muslims. Did you just see what you did in this man-made way of handling it? So, Pastor, what do we do to stay protected from the corruption of the world? Stop fleshly dealing with it. We accomplish this true protection by being spiritual all the time. Stop having spiritual moments. Stop looking for spiritual things. Be spiritual in all that you do. Romans 8, 5 through 8 really separates. There are two groups of people, period. He says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. You can't say you're spiritual if your life shows otherwise. Our life is going to reveal what I really am. I can't say, hey, I'm a Christian, while I'm cursing people out, while I'm sleeping around, while I'm lying and cheating, while I'm getting revenge against my. I can't say that. My mind is not on God if I'm not doing godly things. He makes that very clear. He's like, watch what they do. That's what their mind is set on. They're not spiritual. Just because you call yourself spiritual, your life will show otherwise. If I live emotionally, I'm not spiritual. If I live intellectually, I'm not spiritual. Living ignorantly or culturally, not spiritual. All of these, you'll see it in my actions, my response. He says, but those, continuing on, who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. No matter what the world shows at me, how I react will be based on God. Did you catch that? That means a song will hit me, whatever that song is, but my reaction will always be based on God. My mood won't change. You know, and I know people like say, oh, the devil's in the beat and this music does this. And they're absolutely right. To the flesh, he uses everything. Remember, he says everything in the world to touch every part of us. But when I make up these things, you'll have people who just blame it on a beat. So they'll go listen to a classical music that's doing the same thing. Because God didn't say the devil's in the beat. Somebody told you that. And if you want to follow it, that's great. But then you open yourself up to what this you call safe music, and you're still being hit the exact same way. It still affects your emotions when I'm not spiritual. But when my mind's set on Christ, I don't care what I feel. I'm only doing what he says. That's why he says the mind of the sinful man is death. Why? Because the mind of a sinful man is going by how he feels. And that's why a lot of Christians allow their feelings to endorse what they do. You'll see them react based on how they feel. If they're depressed, they will show depression. They'll feel depression. So they'll be it. However, the person who's spiritual will feel depression, but be joyful, because that's what God said. That's why I said the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. This is a process of trust in him. I have to know what he says. That's why he started off with saying they obeyed the truth. So I got to know what the word says and just do it despite how I feel. But if I keep wanting God to make my feelings be in line with him, then that's a man-made thing and it's a losing battle. He makes very clear in verse 7, the sinful man is hostile to God. That's the man whose mind is set on anything else other than what God says. Hostile. You're fighting against God. It does not submit to God's laws. Watch this. Nor can it do so. So just because you made up some rule that seems wholesome, there was a politician, and once again, nice rule where he says, I don't go to lunch with any other woman other than my wife. Sounds great. And not in no way am I endorsing that is wrong. What I am saying is it's a man-made rule that leaves a whole lot of other things open. We become hypocritical, if you will, in certain cases. Remember Jesus was talking to the woman at the well? You would add people that are going, Jesus, well, I can't believe you with this woman alone. Do you get this? No. What you would say is, if I happen to be in a situation where I am alone with somebody, I'm going to put things into place in order for that situation not to go ungodly based on what God says. See the difference? I told my wife years ago, not, hey, dear, I will never cheat on you. What I said to her is, I'm going to do all I can never to put myself in a position. Why? The Bible already told me I'm corrupt, told me she's corrupt, never to trust me. So I'm not going to go in with this mindset of I won't let this happen. I'm going in with the mindset, I'm a man. There's people out there. Things can happen. I will make sure I don't put myself in that position based on God. Sinful mind can't do that. Spiritually is, I got to do what God says, period. Never go with what you feel. Verse 8 says, those controlled by the sinful nature, watch this, cannot please God. And these man-made rules are based on the sinful nature. You doing something to make you feel righteous. We also accomplish this protection by not being influenced, watch this, by any ungodliness. When he says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be misled, which is showing misleading or deception is a choice, he says bad company corrupts good character. The translation means bad communication. In other words, when I indulge in these things of the world as if they're going to help me, you still have people who call themselves Christians, but they're going to worldly counselors. They're still reading worldly books for advice in their lives. How does that work? They're reading books on how to raise their children by somebody they like, sometimes an actor or something, not realizing you're being corrupted. They're listening to politicians and people they like that are not Christian, or they're supposed Christians not giving Christian guidance. You're being corrupt. Just because it sounds good does not mean it is good. I can't have, there was a, the person who actually said the comment about the singer, it was a woman pastor. We know what the Bible says about women pastors. So you have this person ignoring or disobeying God, giving you rules on what it means to be a Christian. Think about that. How are we doing something against God, right? And I don't care if you care for it or not. It's what the word says. There's nothing that takes it away. You have to make a man-made rule to take that away. But how can you disobey God and get mad at people for some rule that God did not say? And then we have to totally stop living for self and focus totally on living for God. When Jesus said, "I do," the world must understand, "I do exactly what the Father tells me," that's supposed to be our lives. In fact, Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 breaks down what a Christian is supposed to and recognizing what we were. He says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life," okay, the way you used to live without Christ, "to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires." So not only what I want is corrupting the world, what I want is corrupting me. Sink that in for a little bit. It's corrupting me. The what I want corrupts me. And you have a lot of people living for what they want. That's why we remold God to fit what we want. And we become corrupt. But I'm supposed to recognize that. The thing that was messing me up was me. So what do I do? He says in verse 23, "to be made new in the attitude of your minds." Ah, that means, and I'm being very careful with this, I can listen to anything, I can watch anything, I can be exposed to anything. It will not affect me. I'll know when to walk away. I'll know when not to do something, because my main focus and how I see things never be affected. In fact, you'll have the Pharisees, when Jesus was sitting among the sinners and tax collectors, what will happen? You'll have some Christians that will go amongst people that are getting drunk, and then they'll get drunk. They missed it. Do you get it? In their freedom, they don't realize there's a responsibility. You go in there going, "I'm not to get drunk. I'm not to give the appearance. I'm not." They know all the things to do so they can go in that group. They don't avoid the group. They go in the group understanding their responsibility because their attitudes are set on serving Christ. Catch this. It says, verse 24, "and to put on the new self," watch this, "created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." And the key word is true, because you have this self-righteousness and human holiness, which is not righteousness or holiness at all. When I'm like Christ, I could be in the world and the world doesn't affect me. Why? Because my focus is on God. I only make a move when God says make a move, not when the world says. So this is huge, huge. We raise our kids in this power, in the strength of depending and only following God, true obedience to God. That's what's going to protect us. So they're going to hear music when they go into their friend's house or they go to a school. It won't affect them. They're going to see things as they get older and their hormones kick them. It won't affect them. Why? Because their focus will never be on self. Their focus will never be in flesh. The focus will be on God. So then the freedoms we'll go into, you'll know it won't affect me. Here's a huge example and a huge warning then for those who understand this and then start living it. It means, since I know this, I don't make up these rules in the flesh to stop things, to make myself look holy. I recognize there are certain things I can do and it doesn't affect me. Look at this great example that the Bible gives. It shows us that understanding what we need to do is to truly stay protected. We have to be mindful of how our knowledge, those who get this, affects others. So I don't now go into it going, "I'm allowed to do anything I want." I can't do that without recognizing something. In 1 Corinthians 8, 4 through 13, he really gives a scenario and he shows how this freedom then can become sin. It says, "So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols." Why is he starting with this topic? Because just like today, there are certain things that if I don't look at what God says about them, I'll start making up things. Even today, you have people that give power, more power to things that God has not. Amen. There you had people that were like, if I eat food, sacrifice to idols, then I'm going to get spirits that'll come on me. It'll possess me. And you still have those that give you, oh, man, don't do that because it'll bring demons in. You'll start hearing people make up stuff. Now, the Bible's very clear on certain supernatural, ungodly things we're supposed to stay away from. You know, stay away from fortune tellers. So stay away from people reading your palms. Stay away from where you're talking about your signs and all that other stuff. That stuff he's clear on. The Bible's not unclear on it. However, when I start making up other stuff, then I give more power to things that don't have power. Christians, here was the strength. He says about food eating, about sacrifice, he says, we know. This knowledge we have, hopefully a Christian will only put their guard up against things that God says is dangerous. You won't say stuff like, oh, when you watch this show, it brings blah, blah, blah in your household. You understand that blah, blah, blah is in your household anyway. Not because you watch this show, because it's part, your household is still part of the entire world. But as for me and my household, what are we doing? Serving God. So none of that I watch or say would influence me at all. So we go in with this strong knowledge of just living for God. He says that an idol is nothing at all in the world and that there is no God but one. So we as Christians know superstitions are meaningless. Do you understand? I'm not going to give in to that. They're worthless. So in other words, let's say there was a place and they were selling food and you liked their ribs and the ribs, they were like, the name of the restaurant was Sacrifice to Idol Restaurant. And you like, but I love their ribs. We know that's meaningless to me. Do you get what I'm saying? What they supposedly spiritually did does nothing to me because God told me that. It says, verse 5, for even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father of whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. Well, watch what he says. Here's the key. But not everyone knows this. The things that make us avoid freedoms are not because we're scared of what the freedoms will do to us, because you should be ahead of that, because your protection should not be bothered by the freedoms. It's what it may do to others. You're still going to have these weak Christians and these Christians that are misled. That's why he says some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it having been sacrificed to an idol. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. What does that mean? They're giving more power to eating from that same restaurant, and which now, because they're giving more power, it weakens their faith and they're doing something outside of faith. Oh, so then I'm supposed to eat this food that come from sacrifices? It might give me powers. Maybe it's not a bad thing. And this is where you get people who call themselves Christians who dabble because they saw somebody else doing something. It's when they see a Christian drink, which the Bible doesn't say is wrong, and they go out and they get drunk. You may go, it's not my fault. No, this shows otherwise. I have to go, you know what? It may cause these to get drunk. He says, but food does not bring us near God. We are no worse if we do not eat it and no better if we do. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. You catch that? So because I know this and I know it doesn't affect me and I'm raised in the fact of just trusting in God in everything, I got to be careful because not everybody knows that. He says in verse 10, for if anyone with a weak conscience sees you having this knowledge eating in an idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? So he'll do the wrong thing. He'll eat it based on the sacrifice to idols. I'm just eating food because that stuff is meaningless to me. How do I know it's meaningless to me? Based on God. Stop letting man come to you with these warnings and give you partial warnings, and then you submit to them because we come out looking like hypocrites and putting ourselves in more dangers of the world. So then, but those who do know it, who really get it, you're going to be conscious of how you affect others. That's why it says in verse 11, so this weak brother from whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. Now that those who get it, you just go out there and for your freedom, instead of going, you know, how can this affect others? That's why you'll go, I'm not going to watch this. I'm not going to listen to this. I'm not going to do this, especially around them. And he even goes even further. When you sin against your brother in this way, you wound their weak conscience. You sin against Christ. even though what you're doing in itself wasn't a sin, because you recognize this freedom could mislead and cause a stumbling block to somebody else, then you then turn into a sin. That's why he says, therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall. I will go to extremes not to cause others to fall. So this is showing, I'm not using man-made things because I'm scared of it. I don't use man-made things to show that I'm just trusting in God, that he could put me in any scenario, and that scenario will not affect me because I'm only doing what God says. In a nutshell, that's what it's saying. However, I'm going to be careful in the scenarios that I'm put in, how it's going to affect others. I got to think about that in the Lord. I got to pray about that in God. When it comes down to it, we must be pure, which means we see everything through and based on Christ. And then you'll really grasp the significance of this passage. Titus 1, 15 through 16. It says, to the pure, all things are pure. So we go into the world recognizing it's the world. I'm not in shock because somebody got up on a stage set up like Satan, to where I'm so focused on them doing this and go, oh, this world is really becoming so demonic, not realizing God already told me the world is demonic. Because I'll see the next band that gets up and they'll fit the world's version of wholesome, and I'll still go, Keith, keep your spiritual guard up. They will not affect me. Do you see how this works? That's pure. Why? Because I'm only following what the word says, period, not my perception. Because my perception will then give me, oh, that group is bad, this group is good. And Satan's like, I don't care which group you pick, I just want to use one of them to get to you. And it works. That's why he says, to the pure, all things are pure. Watch this. But to those who are corrupted, when I allow any other belief other than what God says, and that's why he says, and do not believe, he says, nothing is pure. I'm confused. I might pick some things that are wrong, but it doesn't make it pure. Just because that group on the stage who was set dressed up bad, you're absolutely right, they are bad, but you totally missed this other group. He says, in fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. You understand? Right now, you're already destroyed because you're playing this game in which you're now being the decider instead of letting God be the decider. You're telling people, only watch these types of movies, never watch these types, only read these types of books, never watch these types. But in reality, if you read the Bible, all of it's corrupt. So how do I deal with it? Don't be affected by it. Don't be affected by it. Only focus on him. But you'll know the ones that are doing it, because it says in verse 16, they claim to know God, watch this, but by their actions, they deny him. And then he hits something that really hits hard. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. And unfortunately, that describes many who call themselves Christians. I'm hoping you go over and read this, listen to this again, really grasp what God is saying here. He's not saying, let's just avoid, pick and choose, make yourself look self-righteous. He's saying, while you're in the world, you're going to shine because the world's not going to affect you because you're only truly affected by God. It's going to go in your decision making, and it's going to show in how you live. Let us stay in God's true protection and stop making up this dangerous, false human protection. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, we thank you so much for the protection you have provided us through your mercy and through your grace. And we just ask you to help us to stop allowing how we see it to get in the way of how you say it. We know that we're surrounded by evil in so many different forms. We do not want to be deceived, dear Lord. We just want to be led by you all the time. Help us to see and recognize that based on the faith that you have provided for us, and not by the sight that we do through flesh. Let's pray for one another and use what the Bible says to guide and to encourage others, and not these man-made protections that just gives the impression of being safe while it, in other ways, is showing danger. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for your clarity. Thank you so much for your spirit. And we love you and we thank you. And all these things we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say, amen.